This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by New England In Touch Call Center. Unshackle yourself from your phone. New England In Touch is an answering service based in West Warwick, Rhode Island, that lets you focus on bringing up your business's bottom line. With their help, you will have more time and energy to provide the best products and services to your customers. Call New England In Touch today at 866-258-1952.
Now on AM 790, it's time for IREM Today, the property management show with hosts Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your hosts, Dina and Chrissy.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good. So today is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
February 22nd, and it's gorgeous out.
It is.
It's like 60 degrees
out. It's been a beautiful week.
Has it?
Yeah,
oh, no, it has been. That's right.
It's been a beautiful week.
I'm still scarred by it.
You're on vacation mode.
I am. Today I have a vacation day, although it wasn't such a vacation day for me. But, yes, today is my last.
Where did you try to drop your kids off this week?
No. No. They're at my dad's today, but I knew that they were going there. So today is, I'm actually excited because the kids normally have February vacation this week.
Yes.
And they only had yesterday off because of
President's Day.
And they won today for a professional recognition day. The teachers are doing
something.
So
they eliminated it.
Yeah, so no more February vacation. I mean, they were just home for 10 days.
There's so many snow days that they just...
They just need to go to school 365 days out of the year. Maybe give them a break in the summer. 2 weeks. I'll give them 2 weeks. Okay, so today it is, like I said, February 21st. It's 4:07 p.m., and you are listening to IREM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. I am Dina Cimarelli, your host, in studio today with my co-host, Chrissy Denalian.
Hi.
Hi. And in case this is the first time you're tuning in to IREM Today and you were kind of wondering what IREM stands for, IREM is the...
Institute of Real Estate Management.
It is. And IREM Today is... your live local radio show here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we do know that there's a lot of these fun syndicated programs on this station. However,
we're not one of them.
Why aren't we?
Well, we are fun.
We're fun.
We are fun.
And
we're
what
just
else
not
we?
Syndicated.
Some other adjectives.
Moderately entertaining?
Nope. Not moderately. Very.
Very entertaining?
I think entertaining.
All right. I mean, as long as you think so.
I mean, that's all that matters.
That is all that matters.
And because we are not syndicated, you can always call us live in studio locally at 401-437-5000, or you can call us toll free at 888-345-0790. So, Chrissy, we're known as the Greater Rhode Island Chapter 88.
Yes, and we are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. So if you manage, let's say, a giant complex.
Like you do.
Possibly.
Giant.
A giant complex. Or maybe you manage a single family house or commercial real estate. IREM is here for you to help you and give you the tools, trainings, and tips you need.
See, now I manage my own.
You do.
Leased condo that I lease. I am on my own property manager. You know, when I first moved in, I think I said this before, I moved in 2014 and my landlord, the owner of the condo, had commissioned a management company who I would literally pick up the phone if I had anything major wrong. I wouldn't take advantage of the situation, but you know, heating issues, wherever it was.
Plumbing issues, whatever.
Anything, yeah. And they would magically, all of a sudden, they'd just be a knock at the door. They would appear, fix it. There'd be no bill and it would be fantastic. Well, my last lease renewal, they had decided to eliminate the management company because, you know what, I really wasn't having that many issues. There was nothing really wrong, and I have a father who's very handy, so if I had an issue, I would call him. I wouldn't call the management company. So they had ended up getting rid of the management company and actually lowered my rent by $50 a month because they were no longer paying the management company, which I thought was amazing because who does that?
Lower the rent. You never hear that.
No, and that's what they did. They said, well, seeing as though we don't have to pay that monthly retainer anymore, we're going to lower your rent. I was like, all right, cool. And now I am forced to be my own property manager, and I don't like it, so I really don't envy what you do.
You have one unit.
And I have one unit, and it's mine. And I do not want anything to do with
it. And a handy dad at that.
And I have a handy dad, so my dad's my property manager. So speaking of, we have these designations, and I know you carry one, the ARM.
I carry the ARM, which stands for Accredited Residential Manager.
Yes.
And there is also a second designation.
There is. The CPM.
And what does that stand for?
That's a certified property manager.
And what does Jack Benz like to say about
CPM? He always says having your CPM is kind of like having pretty much a degree from Harvard. It's like a top-notch
it's
education.
It's the creme de la creme.
You love saying that.
I do.
You say
because
it every week.
That's what he
says. I love it.
That's what he likes to say.
He does.
It is. It is the best education you can get in property management.
So if you know anybody, let me ask you a question. Do you ever come across people just in your day-to-day life that are looking for a new career? Do you ever suggest, property management?
No, I want to keep them all forever. What are you kidding? Whoever I'm working with.
You don't want nobody to ever excel in life?
Just stay with me. You're doing a good job, so stay with me.
So, because, having a career in property management, which you do, people, if they're looking for something different, or they want to have some sort of training, they can actually come to IREM, and we have these great scholarships that are available.
We do.
For these designations.
Right. And if maybe you're just not ready for those designations yet, and maybe you're just in the property management field, but you want to see what IREM's about, you can always be an associate membership and have access to all the tools, training, and tips you need. And then maybe a year from now, 6 months from now, a few months from now, you want to move on to get your ARM, you can go and do that.
And you can do that.
And through the scholarship program, which covers up to 75% of the cost of the courses.
And that's fantastic.
Of course it is.
It is. So maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll get my practice now managing my one unit condo.
Right.
And if I can handle that, maybe
then
I'll
you'll
think
be a property manager for a year and then.
That's what I need.
Fine.
That's part of my credentials, right?
That'll be fine.
That's my prereq.
Yes.
I think, wait a minute, I've already been doing this for a year. I'm totally ready to get my ARM. So now if somebody walks into your business because, Chrissy, you are a property manager and you work for a large management company. And if somebody walks in and they say that they're a CPM and they're looking for work, right away you know that this person has been trained properly and professionally and they are backed by actually the same code of ethics that you are. And if they didn't have that designation, maybe they wouldn't have the same opportunity that, somebody else would. So it's definitely to their benefit. And it's advantageous for them to.
Oh, big word.
Oh, advantageous to go and get their designations.
And if you are interested in getting an ARM or CPM and you want a little more information, you can always go on to our website, iremri.org, or you can always give Karen a call. Karen is our associate executive and handles everything that we're going to be talking about today. From our charity work to our to our events and social gatherings and different committees that we have. But you can give Karen a call. Her number is 401-479-7734.
I should have because, again, I stalk her on Facebook because we're Facebook friends. And she was just in Chicago at, I want to say it was like the IREM headquarters. And if I would have thought a little bit sooner, I would have actually asked her, kind of what she was doing there and what was going on. I don't know if there's any
top secret
IREM information that she can share with us.
I don't know.
We should have Karen call in one day.
We should have Karen on the show.
She knows
a lot
everything.
Of, yes.
Why haven't we done that yet?
We're going to reach out to her.
All right, we're going
to
reach out to her.
Yes.
All right, so why don't you talk a little bit about our guest that we have in studio with us today.
Our guest today is the CEO of Veterans of Tomorrow. Is that correct?
Actually,
did I get your title right? No?
Close. The CEO of the ARC of Blackstone Valley.
And yes.
Veterans of Tomorrow is a project of that.
And it's Jack Pagen. Pagen? Is that how we say
Pagen.
It?
Pagen.
Correct. It's, no, Pagen.
Pagen. Oh, Pagen. Okay.
Pagen. It's, yes, because it's spelled like Pagen.
Yeah.
But it's not.
All right. That's okay.
Right.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's right.
So we're going to be talking a little bit about our charity and what for this year for IREM and how we're going to be donating a computer room, basically.
A computer lab. Yeah. And I'd love to learn a little bit. I know we have a little bit of a history about the ARC of Blackstone Valley and the development corporation and kind of how it started and when it was founded and then the initiative for the Veterans for Tomorrow as well. So
right.
We'd like to, we're going to take a break in a little bit, but when we come back, I'd love to know a little bit more. You just kind of explain
and
tell us.
Sure, the history of exactly how it all started and
how, fantastic.
How
and
that
how
project
other,
began.
Yeah, and how other people can help, not just IREM members, maybe others as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, going forward with the housing for veterans is a major push of ours,
mm-hmm.
and especially for individuals that are homeless or in danger of being homeless. I think it's a very important project.
Yes, it definitely is.
Yes.
Yes, I read the bio and I read the backup, and It was a very interesting story. And I know where the building is, and it's actually beautiful. I've driven by there.
We were just talking about how beautiful it is.
I'm from that area. So where I used to live in North Providence, it was right on the line of where Douglas Avenue, it meets up from Providence to North Providence. And so I'm very familiar with that area. And some of the areas down there aren't really that fantastic anymore. When I was a kid 30-plus years ago, it was much different.
Don't age yourself.
I'm old, and that's the end of it.
They don't become available to you unless they're in pretty rough shape.
Yeah.
And then you have to take advantage of that. And once you do that, they have a lot of character. So those buildings are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful.
They're a little bit different than your normal housing development might be.
Yes, for sure. All right, so we are going to take a quick break right now. It is 4:16, and you are listening to iRoom Today, the Property Management Show, and we will be right back after this.
All right, it is 4:19 here on iRoom Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my co-host, Dina Cimarelli.
Hi.
And we are live in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Before we left, we were talking with Jack.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
Oh, another Jack. I just thought of that.
I know. We only allow Jacks
here.
We only allow Jacks here.
That's it.
But we were talking a little bit. Could you just give us a little bit of history about the program Veterans for Tomorrow?
Well, the Veterans for Tomorrow program is a 20 housing unit development for veterans. It started, I'd say probably 6-7 years ago. The concept began then. The Arc of Blackstone Valley, which I am the CEO of, developed housing in the 90s. We were starting to develop housing for our clientele, and it was varying degrees of housing that we needed. It was group homes or 8-11 projects, which are HUD projects, or 202s, mm-hmm. which are the elderly housing. So we started developing housing projects and putting in applications to the federal government and that kind of thing over the years. And as we developed more and more need, we started to we actually decided that we really needed a development arm of our agency. So we started a subsidiary called the Blackstone Valley Development Corporation to look at that, because it becomes very, very complicated. And to tell you the truth, when we started this thing in the beginning, we had no idea how complicated it really was. And property management, of course, is a huge part of it.
Yes.
But we didn't know that either.
Live and learn, that's all.
Right now, I could really be a great developer. And I've learned all things not to do when you start these projects. But we started this thing out, and we wanted to branch out because we were working with people with disabilities. And, of course, there's a lot of veterans who have disabled veterans, head injuries, and so on and so forth. But there is a huge push on at that time. To try to get all the homeless vets, which were or in danger of homelessness across the country, housed. And I have a very personal reason for getting involved, because my father was in the service back in the day in World War II, and I was born right after the war, and it became a real part of your culture personal. In those days when you were growing up in the 50s, and the war and everything that happened about it. You became very, very involved in it, and so it became part of your life. And so I always wanted to do something with that, but I never was in the service or anything like of that nature. But I really wanted to do something to give back at some point, somehow. And this opportunity came around, and I said, well, maybe we could do something in housing for folks and the veterans that have some issues. We talked to the Providence Housing Authority, which was tremendous at that point to help us out, because, again, we didn't really know a whole lot about it. And there was a competition in the United States at that point to give out what's called VASH vouchers, which probably your audience knows more about the Section 8 housing vouchers back in the day when there was a lot of housing being done by HUD across the country. Well, a VASH voucher is similar to a Section 8 voucher, only for veterans, but they do receive services at the same time from the hospitals. To get these vouchers, you had to be within 50 mile radius of a hospital, which in Providence
of a VA,
yeah, and we were. So we put an application in through the Providence Housing Authority to represent the state of Rhode Island. They gave out 500 vouchers across the country, and we were able to get 20 of those, which is really a pretty big deal when you consider about
Rhode Island.
For Rhode Island, it was a pretty big deal. And it's like a golden ticket, really. It provides you the ability to finance a project.
Yes.
And then if you're going to do a 20-unit project, which is what we did at the Heaton Mills and off Douglas Avenue, you really have to be able to do lots of things, you know, pretty efficiently, because 20 units is not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, if you're really trying to be a developer of any sort, you really want to do bigger than 20 units, because
yes.
the soft cost for those 20 units, you know, it's the same almost if you're doing 80 to 100 units.
Yeah.
And so you run into that, you bump into that all the time. And for a project of that size, in this particular project, we ended up having to get 11 funding sources.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy if you're a big developer, you can go to a bank.
Yeah.
We had to go to 11. You know, we have low-income taxing housing tax credits. We have affordable housing tax credits. We have the historical tax credits, and it goes on and on and on. And Rhode Island Housing, of course, you couldn't do it without Rhode Island Housing in the state of Rhode Island. They're the funding base for us in Building Homes Rhode Island, which was a huge help for us to provide a project like this. And that's the bond issue funds that I would support every single day of the week, because that's the way things get done. And it provides jobs, it provides opportunity, it provides housing, really needed housing, affordable housing.
What came first, Jack?
Sure.
Was it the vouchers, being awarded the vouchers, or you finding the property?
We found the property first.
Yep.
Because we knew we wanted to do a project. It's almost, you have five things that have to be done all at once.
All at the same time,
I imagine. You know, you have to scramble. That's one thing you don't really, you know, realize, that there's a lot of these things have to come.
All moving parts.
All moving parts at the same time. So you're juggling a lot of balls all at once. But we did. We found the project first. The property first. We were able to, through one of our developing partners, they were able to help us with that. We were able to finance that, and actually the owner of that was really helpful. I mean, you really have to understand that to get these kind of projects done, everyone has to kind of help a little bit.
Yes.
Because you can't just. I mean, if they were that profitable, everybody would be doing it.
And
nobody's doing them that way. So
yes.
you have to get help a little bit from everybody. Our legal firm, Pannone Loebs Devereaux and O'Gara now, were tremendous in helping us, because, you know, we can't pay for lawyers while you just don't have the money yet.
Yes.
Because the money doesn't come until after you get the project done.
Yes.
So the lawyers helped out, and the accounting firms helped out, and everybody kind of pitched in. And as far as the agency itself, we would all go out on a limb. The banks went out on a limb to help us out.
Yes.
It was really a joint effort to get it done, but it was successful. And Governor Raimondo was there when she we did the ribbon cutting. And all the delegation was there, and Jack Reed and White House and the whole crew.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, Cicilline and Langevin, they all helped. I mean, we all would go down to Washington. I can't tell you how many years this took.
I was just going to ask you, from start to finish, what's the time frame?
It was probably, I'd say 6 years, 6.5 years probably took us from the first initial thought to the end.
Cut the ribbon.
Yeah, because, think about it a lot. You try to get it put together, but we probably looked at 10 properties before you actually come down to one.
Yeah. And even with an existing property, there's so many issues, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these properties are
existing,
old.
To get them up to code.
They're sitting around forever, and so there's a reason why people aren't picking them up. And so this would fit into our kind of, swing zone there. We figured we could work it, and it did, and it was pretty successful for us in that sense. But even our next door neighbor, who owns a huge property, another huge mill project.
Is that Geneva?
Geneva Mills,
Geneva,
right. And he helped us out, because we're right on the North Providence line, and he helped us out with plowing and letting our vehicles go to one side if we could.
Kind of bringing a whole community together.
And we had to bring, you have to, really, that's the way to do it. And for this particular reason, it's really a good thing. I mean, no one's going to say no to a veteran, because if anybody should receive everything
benefits,
in the world,
absolutely.
It should be a veteran.
Right. For sure.
They give everything.
Given so much. Yeah.
So that's what we felt. And it brought the Blackstone Valley, the ARC itself, the agency, into a new kind of, realm of housing and community development in that sense. Because one of the things we're going to try to do with this in this particular property is a job training.
That's
exciting. And we have a large room that we're able to do job training in, but we didn't have all the money and the equipment to do those things, because you by the time you go through all the funding to build these places, there's not a whole lot of fat on this
leftover for
to do everything
especially
else.
With 20 units you're not bringing in.
No, there's not a whole lot, and we have a big outside area that we wanted to provide them the veterans a place to be able to go to, relax. We call it our Liberty area, Liberty Garden, mm-hmm. based on the, yeah. you know, World War II, the Liberty ships. And we try to provide them an opportunity to go out there and, you know, relax and, you know, have a wonderful place to live. But you have to try to, you know, provide all the things and the amenities for that.
Yes.
And so we did a, we'll call it a brick campaign. And bench campaign, and so people are able to buy bricks, and we, you know, on Veterans Day they come out, they
fantastic.
Buy the bricks, we
make a,
you know, we take those funds that we've supported with the bricks or the benches, and we use it to buy the equipment or like.
Do you do that? Is something you do annually?
Yeah. Well, we've only done it twice.
Second, yes.
But we are going to do it every Veterans Day.
I should tell my father about that. My dad's a veteran. He was in the Air Force. He fought in Vietnam. But yeah, so I hold veterans very close to my heart as well. And we are actually going to get ready to take a quick break, Jack. But when we come back, I kind of want to talk to you. I'm curious to know about. Is there a wait list, and are you guys at fully occupied in the age range? Like, I got a lot of questions about this.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
Hopefully when we come back, we can hit some of those
yes.
topics.
And we can talk about how people can purchase a brick.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That
yes.
and also what IRAM's doing to give back as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So it is 4:30. You're listening to IRAM Today, the Property Management Show, and we will be right back after this. And we are back. It is 4:34, February 21st, Tuesday, and you are listening to IRAM Today. I am Dina Cimarelli, along with my co-host, Chrissy Danilian.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
And before we left for break, we were talking to Jack, who is the CEO of the Arc of Blackstone Valley, and we were talking specifically about his Veterans for Tomorrow initiative and kind of how it came to be and how it came about. And it's a pretty interesting story. And we were also just talking about right before we left Veterans Day. You can tell me a little bit more how you can buy a brick.
Yeah. Well, on Veterans Day, what we try to do prior to it and coming up to it, we try to get some information out that people can purchase a brick for the Veterans for Tomorrow facility itself in the back.
Is it in memory of someone?
It's in memory of someone, sure. Yeah, it's in memory of someone. And there's a whole campaign for it. You can get it online. You know, and there's also benches, too.
Yeah.
And people memorialize the folks that, you know, they were close to them and put something on that, and the brick comes in, and you can get a copy of the brick itself for you, and also you can get one for the it goes into the ground. And it's been pretty good. It's been pretty successful when we first started it out. And those funds we use to support the equipment purchasing or the tables and chairs and the outside situation.
Like recreational
stuff. Things. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Because those aren't provided in the, you know, federal funding and whatever funding we usually get. Those don't come.
Because those are the niceties.
Do you
know how much
that.
A brick is?
There's like three different levels, but it's, I think you start out, it's like $140. $120 is one level.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's $120 on one level, it's called the salute level. There's a $140 level, there's a valor level. The honor guard level is actually for the engraved stone bench, and that's like $2,000. But a lot of people, what they've done is they've split the cost.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
Families
right.
on it. So it's a, you know, we like to, that's been pretty successful, and it's actually made the back pretty nice. Now we're looking at a possibility of trying to get some artwork done in the back, because we have big retaining walls,
mm-hmm.
and they could put some artwork in the back there. That'd
be fantastic.
Maybe to pick some veteran situation. So I don't know. It's a lot of ideas. Just trying to come up with the best way to put it together and, you know, provide them with a first class residential space, but also provide a little bit more to it.
Let me give them a home and personable.
Ann Telfer.
Yes.
She had given me her contact information if anybody was interested in purchasing a brick or a bench.
Correct.
So her phone number is 401-727-0150. She is extension 110. Or you can email her at atelfer@bvcriarc.org.
Fantastic.
Correct.
So that's a little information if anybody's is interested in purchasing a brick or a bench, maybe not right for Veterans Day, but
you can do it anytime during the year, because
it'll be
up on the webpage, and you can get all that information. But around the Veterans Day, you know, people are paying more attention, and we like to try to do that, and in the last couple of years that's been pretty successful. So
it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been good.
So tell us a little bit about the computer lab. So that's going to have a name designated to it.
Yes. Well, what we've tried to do in the very beginning when we put this the whole project together, one of our initiatives was to try to find job training programs. We had at that time a significant grant from the federal government for a job training program through the Arca Blackstone Valley, and that went for about 3 years. But the project started and it went 6.5 years before we got it going.
Oh, wow.
So that funding has gone dry.
Kind of run out.
Yeah, it was an earmark that we received, and it was a great project and did a lot of job training to get people working in the industry that we're in.
Yep.
You know, direct care providers and that kind of thing. But that ended. So now it left us with 3.5 years later after that ended to try to put together a project for job training of some type. So that's when we ran into the issue of we need equipment and we need tables and chairs. We need an actual person to do some of the job training.
Yes.
And the opportunities that are out there. And in our industry, over the last few years, the Department of Justice has come in to the state of Rhode Island and said a lot of the facilities that we have in the old days were segregated settings. And now we're trying to get people out in the community more and try to find them jobs. And so we're familiar with that, and the Department of Justice is willing to, try to help us with that in the next few years to try to get those positions and those people trained. So we are starting to get into that business of training people and trying to train people for job opportunities. And I thought that at the same time, that community of the disabled veteran, which is, a huge need, or a person that's homeless and doesn't have a facility, doesn't have a job, those kind of things. We could kind of put that all together, and if we have an expert in one, we can have an expert in both, and we could just try to become successful in that area of trying to get job development. So it's kind of a new area for us in that sense of job training folks. But
what's the age range of the residents that you have there right now?
Oh, I'd say, I think we run the gambit probably. I'd say probably in the late 20s to
really?
60s. Yeah, I would say something like that.
Wow.
And it's male or female as well.
Yeah.
And the folks, are brought to us from the Veterans Hospital. Their social workers develop the list of people that have the opportunity to come in, and they vent that, and then they come in and take a look, and if the folks like the facility, and usually nobody doesn't like it because this is a
beautiful
facility.
Yeah.
This isn't your everyday, as we said before, cookie cutter kind of situation. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful historic building that's been restored, and by
so
the way,
character.
We've won 3 awards. We've won a national award. We've won
I saw the Rhode Island Monthly.
The
Design Award.
We won another one. We're an honorable mention in a national award for historic sites, and we received we had to go down to Washington to get that award. It's pretty unusual. It's a pretty unique facility, and the rooms, the actual units themselves are nothing's the same. They're all different because of the shape and this and that. The windows are absolutely breathtaking.
All that natural light.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
And you would never put a window like that in your house unless
you
had to do it because these things are just tremendous. So,
Is there a goal? So, a veteran comes in, and let's say there's somebody in their late 20s and disabled, I mean, I don't know the correct terminology, disabled to the point, but they can still go out into the workforce and they're trying to learn a new trade. Or is the goal for them to come into your housing, get some sort of education on the job training and learn and to get out there to be able to go somewhere else? Or is this where they plan on living?
No,
they
can live here. This is the folks that come in for the training, the veterans that come into training don't have to just be the ones that live there.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be other folks that
come in to use the facility.
Sure.
But
For the most part, it would be the folks that are right there.
Yeah.
But there's only 20 of them.
Yes.
And so once, if they get trained and get a position, well, you still want to be able to have that opportunity to help out anybody that, is
off
available.
The air, we were talking about maybe a turnover rate and how often do apartments turn over. And you said that there was...
Since we're only the very beginning of the project, it's hard to put a number on that. But I think we've had 3, maybe 4 turnovers.
Minimal.
And that's a minimal
thing.
That's
very minimal.
Because once you get in there, they're not necessarily going to want to leave because it's so nice.
Oh, absolutely.
But also, this is an opportunity for them to have a place that you know, they can live and enjoy
and
right. you know,
and be a peace be and, a, with
the,
yeah.
and be a part of the community right, right. here. So they don't necessarily want to, you know, to leave. I don't think. Although you do find a lot of people are transient. And they'll go back and forth to different facilities all the time. But mm-hmm. I think in this particular one, and that's the thing that we've gained a lot of experience from this. So now our next project, which we're trying to work on, which will, you know, will cover a little bit more of this kind of area of need, and maybe a larger facility, though more than 20. I think we try to, but you can't just restrict it to a particular, you know, group of people. What you try to do is open it up to the community as best you can, but make it accessible to those folks.
So have it accessible to veterans and senior.
Yeah, because you don't want to be a segregated situation.
Exactly.
You want to have it available. But in the veterans case, in that situation, in a VASH voucher situation, that's different.
Yes.
Because those are
strictly for veterans. Now, when they get that VASH voucher, is that something that they are entitled to for life? They can have that. Is there a expiration date on something like that?
I don't know
how that works.
To tell you the truth, I don't know the answer to that one as far as if that individual, once they get that VASH voucher. The VASH voucher, I know, stays with the property in the sense that that's how you're able to finance those properties.
Yes.
But whether that individual has that for life, I'm not, you know, I don't know that answer, to tell you the truth.
Do you have a wait list? You must have people calling trying to get in and nobody's leaving.
I think there is, yeah. But that's held by the... In this particular case, it's a little different than the other property managements that, you know, we have, like, say, 300 other units. And we'll have one of our property management companies, Phoenix Management, does a lot of it for us. And or Manhattan Housing, there's another property manager. They keep the waiting list for us to, you know, fill, whether it's a 202 or an 811 project. And in our particular case, we use a lot of 811 projects funding. Those are rent subsidies for folks that are disabled on an 811. And a 202 is for elderly. Now, the HUD doesn't provide those funds anymore, but they do provide funding for 811 vouchers. And you can use those 811 vouchers in our particular properties and also into a veterans property. And 811 vouchers are, you know, a rent subsidies for, you know, depending on your income level.
Yeah.
And that's been used recently through the Frank Melville Act, which was an Affordable Housing Act that allows folks to use those subsidies, and makes developers essentially, to, if they can, up to about 20% of their units that they're building are going to be directly subsidized by 811 funds. Makes it more attractive for those individual developers to want to do it and use those 811s, and gets more 811 funds out there. More people have more opportunities to rent facilities. So that's all in our you know, gambit of trying to get, you know, different housing opportunities out there for folks. And we get a lot of that through Rhode Island Housing, which does a tremendous job for us in putting it all together.
All right. So we're getting ready to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to have a few more minutes. We can talk with Jack. And then I'd like to kind of talk about how you were approached by IRM and what led to us being able to give back to the Veterans for Tomorrow. So we'll talk about that in a little bit when we come back.
Sounds wonderful.
Take us to break, Chrissy.
You're listening to IRM Today, the Property Management Show. We'll be right back after this.
All right.
It is 4:49.
It is.
Here on IRM Today, the Property Management Show.
It flies by.
It does.
It does.
We're nearing the last little bit of the show.
Yes, we are.
I'm Chrissy Danalian, along with my co-host, Dina Cimarelli.
Yes.
In studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m.
We are here.
And we just have a few minutes left, but we did want to just talk about a couple more things.
Yeah, because it actually makes sense, because usually at this time we talk about the IRM events, which is going to be a great lead-in for Jack, for sure. So, Jack, tell us a little bit about, you know, IRM reached out to you, and how did it all come together?
How it came together is Ann Telfer, who is our development director and marketing and public relations person, met with and talked to some of the folks from our management companies, and also I think through Rotary, and somehow they hooked up and realized that we were trying to put together this job training program, and we needed equipment and so on and so forth. And IRM provides funding, I guess, for different particular, you know, charity organizations.
Every year we pick
a charity. And ours was a little different because in this particular case, the equipment is what we needed.
Right.
And they thought that as a real possibility. So I guess Ann, who actually spoke with them, and Jason, who works for
Jay Martins.
Jay Martins, who was
we know him.
Show of the show. Yeah,
was has been.
He's the one that kind of led it led us to it, and was a tremendous help, I guess, in the organization, and Anne worked with them to tell them what our need was, and because we weren't selling bricks as fast as we wanted to.
So, you need a little bit of extra supplemental help.
So they did, and they came through big time, and I spoke at their breakfast, and they were
And we were both there for that, and we heard you, and it was very moving and touching hearing your story.
Yeah.
We had more time, obviously, and we could hear it all, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, about the World War II events that
and
led
about your dad.
My dad.
Yes.
So it was a tremendous opportunity, and we were very grateful for it, and so we have a real relationship with these folks now, and I think, you know, they can actually see what's being done when they come in, because there'll be equipment there, there'll be people there, there'll be the actual individual that's getting that training that needs it. And so you can really see what you're putting your money into.
Which I think is pretty amazing.
We were just talking about that before, that it's so nice to have a physical being of what is actually given back. Because every year we do a charity, and it's usually just, here's a check.
Yeah,
or
a cash donation. You know that they're using it, but we never really get to see the fruits of the labor. We know it's going towards something, but they could take that donation and break it up over 10 different programs, and we really don't know what that money is hitting. But to be able to say, hey, we helped contribute to this tangible item is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pretty specific need. So it's, you know, they pretty well identified exactly what they had to have to make it work. Yeah.
And I think Karen had talked about how there'll be 50-50 raffles at any of the events that we're going to be doing.
Yes,
and all different kinds of donations for all of the committees. So they're really trying to
amp up.
Right.
We're really trying to get you some good money this year. Because I know actually the email went out today from Bob Cuddle, Karen's husband, about the golf tournament in the summer that's coming up in June. So I know that is one of our heavy hitters that we do for donations for a charity.
That's part of the scholarship fund, too.
So that's our biggest one that we do. So we're actually looking forward to partnering with you this year, and think it's very exciting. Look forward to seeing you at some of the events.
Yeah, we'll actually be at the golf tournament for sure.
We'll have
to bring some of our better golfers. We have some pretty good golfers from the law firm Penelope Zevro.
I have a feeling all attorneys are good golfers.
They're very good. They're very good. So we get to play with them, and then, you know, consequently, if we win, it even gets better.
Absolutely. I was in the golf tournament last year. It was the second time I ever golfed.
Oh.
Yes, I golfed with two men who were like pros, and me and my manager who were the opposite of pros.
Is it a scramble?
It was a scramble, thank
God.
That's
good.
Wait a minute.
That's
they
fine.
Used my ball like three times.
What? Well, that's pathetic.
No, that's fantastic. For them, it's pathetic.
Yes.
Not for me. It was amazing.
You said that they were pros.
Yeah. No, and they used my ball three times. No. I was like, this is pretty amazing.
They were miniature golf pros.
Yeah.
I guess
we were bowling. No, it was fantastic. We had a good time. I'm looking forward to it this year. Now I know, because I kind of literally got thrown into that last year, last minute. But and I had a great time, but now I'll definitely be going to the driving range, maybe do some nine holes with my dad to kind of warm myself. You should do it next year, Chrissy.
Okay.
Get some golf clubs.
I have pink golf clubs, actually.
Of course you have pink golf clubs. And cleats?
No, I don't have cleats.
Gotta get some cleats.
I do own a pair of golf clubs, though. Yes.
So why
I went
don't
to the country
we...
club before, so I
Oh, that's
I have
right.
To, yeah.
You were at a co-
right.
I forgot all about that. Right. I just know you as Mr. and Chrissy.
I know.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the events that we have coming up in the very near future.
We have the breakfast that's coming up.
We have the breakfast March 8th. I'm actually looking on the IRMRI.org website right now, and Karen
went crazy.
Karen updated this events and education calendar.
For the whole year.
For the entire year. It's crazy. So just coming up quickly in March, on the 8th, like Chrissy said, we have the Industry Trends Breakfast that is hosted by Chris Mellon, and that's also going to be
11:49
at 11:49, and it's going to be, and the word is escaping me, the ARM, installation.
Installation.
So you seem to think it's an installation.
I don't know. One of my friends said that they're getting installed.
Well, I hope your friend has right information, because we're telling everybody that it is. We also have...
If not, go. It will be a good cause. You can donate to the charity. We'll be fine.
Who doesn't like breakfast? On the 15th, we have a half-day boot camp for property managers. We have, at the end of the month, some region conferences in New York. April, we have some workshops coming up. And let's see what other good stuff coming up. Oh, May 17th, save the date. It's the 40th anniversary and awards night dinner. Last year, I think that was at the Crown Plaza. I don't know where it is this year. I can't see it.
No.
And the other big save the date is June 6th for our 10th annual golf tournament. We have some milestones. 40th anniversary awards dinner and 10th annual golf tournament. That's pretty cool.
If you're interested in any of our designations or becoming a friend of IREM, which we didn't get a chance to talk to about today, but you can give Karen a call at 401-479-7734. If you missed any part of the program, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for IREM Today. You can also listen to our podcast on our website, iremri.org.
And we want to thank Jack for coming in today.
We do want to
It's a pleasure having you. We'd love to have you come back again.
And if you do want to buy a brick, you can always call Ann at 401-727-0150, extension 110.
And what's the website for that? Do you have the website handy?
I have. Let me see if I can give you that.
We have 10 seconds. Some reason we don't get to it, just you can Google the Arc of Blackstone Valley, and I'm sure you can look for their Veterans for Tomorrow initiative. Thanks guys. Have a great day.
This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by New England In Touch Call Center. Unshackle yourself from your phone. New England In Touch is an answering service based in Westwark, Rhode Island, that lets you focus on bringing up your business's bottom line. With their help, you will have more time and energy to provide the best products and services to your customers. Call New England In Touch today at 866-258-1952.